when we were doing Vacation Bible School or Youth Week and all of that, and we would come and we would sing some wonderful songs, and one of the songs that I always liked was, "If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands." You remember that one? "If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet." And it goes on to all of that. So, if you're happy, I can tell if you're happy, because you are glowing. Your countenance lets you know that you are glowing on the inside. So if you're happy and you know it, be happy. How many of you heard someone say that either to you or to somebody you know? Are you happy? I bet most of us have, and we love to see that happy glow on someone's face. In fact, it makes us smile to see someone looking extraordinarily happy. Happiness is not only thrilling, it's contagious. One person glowing makes everyone around them feel good and hopeful about their own dreams and their own lives. After all, who doesn't like to feel happy? Or to see someone that is happy? Because when someone glows, we know he or she is full of joy. That person literally illuminates the room from the inside out. Inside out. That's so important. It's an important phrase when it comes to happiness, because it's got to come from the inside out. True happiness emerges from inside of us. Hence the glow. Perhaps that's the kind of glow that surrounded Jesus at the moment of his baptism. When Jesus was being baptized, as he was praying, the scriptures tell us that the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came down in a bodily form, like a dove. A dove, yeah, like a white, fluttering, wavering body. Did God embody Jesus in that experience? He did. Was he suddenly transfigured into a wavering breath of light from God Almighty? Did he glow from the inside out as God portrayed the incarnation from Father to Son through the vehicle of the Holy Spirit? Like me telling the story about the Lord's Prayer, some of these things, we can only wonder, because none of us were there when that happened, but there was a lot of eyewitnesses. But surely, in all that white light as he glowed. You see pictures sometimes, especially in some of the Orthodox churches and so forth, they got a picture of Jesus and they got a halo behind his head. You know, that glow. But a voice from heaven said, you, Jesus, are my son, who I dearly love. And I like what the contemporary English Bible says. I find happiness in you. In the incarnation moment of Jesus' baptism, which began his earthly ministry, as I said, at 30 years old, God glowed with pleasure and happiness and joy. Godness is the vehicle of the Son, the Messiah, and the earthly Lord. Now, I don't know about any of us, but I look at all the different translations, and maybe you do too. But I found it interesting that the contemporary English Bible interpretation of Scripture used the word happiness instead of well-pleased. We hear that phrase a lot. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well-pleased." But that interpretation says happiness. Now, what could that mean? I think the entire interchange of this scripture is a little bit unusual, because Jesus is being baptized by John. And as this is happening, some supernatural occurrence begins. And from the scriptures, we read. Now, we really can't tell whether John or others were witnessing that event, the Holy Spirit descending in bodily form upon Jesus like a dove. And then there's God's voice from heaven, speaking directly to Jesus, declaring love and feeling of happiness or delight in this encounter between God and his Son. It's as though God embodies Jesus with a holy hug. Excuse me. And then glows with happiness like a proud papa. Daddy. Now, did John the Baptist witness this? Or are we reading a narration from Jesus' experience? It's one of those mystical things or spiritual experience that Jesus himself undergoes that is not seen by others, but is known by Jesus exclusively. We, as the reader of scriptures, can't really tell. But what we do know is that these curious events got to be very important, or Dr. Luke would not have taken time to relay them in the exact way that he did in the Gospel of Luke. So what did it mean for God to bodily be a part of Jesus' earthly body? What did it mean for God to find happiness, as it says in a contemporary English Bible, or pleasure in Jesus? Technically, in God's own self. He is God the Father, now God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I butcher English words, and if I butcher other language words like Greek and Hebrew, but Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic is part of the biblical narrative that those languages. Jesus spoke in Aramaic when he was here, but mostly the New Testament era at that particular time was Greek-speaking people. And so I can really butcher some of these Greek words and some of the Hebrew words like I do English words, but there's a Greek word that gives us a clue. So I'm not going to challenge you with me butchering the Greek word. I can tell you, I got it wrote down here. But the Greek word has multiple meanings, as Greek words usually do. Here it can mean to be consistent to, approved of, find favor, be pleased with, be happy with, take delight in, and take pleasure in. Now God, the Creator, takes pleasure in revealing himself through Christ to his creation. God had incarnated himself in the human form through Jesus. And as I mentioned in Genesis, he said, it is good. Now, God does not say, I take pleasure in doing this, or I take pleasure in your baptism. What God says, I take pleasure in you through the Son, Christ, Jesus. Now, God literally glows with happiness and esteem, pleasure, and confirmation of that incarnation. That Greek word really means you are the Son of me, the Beloved, and in you I am fully pleased. Now, I think it's no wonder that Jesus is glowing with this encounter, just as he will begin with his transfiguration, his resurrection, and later his ascension. He is the light of God. And in that moment, we know it, and we see it, and we affirm it. God's happiness is in God's presence himself. That's why it says in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created humans, male and female, and he looked at his creation, and he said, it is good. I think now sometimes we think of ourselves as happy and maybe even unhappy at times. That's human nature. But I think we seldom think of God as being happy. And yet, from the first signs of creation, God felt pleased because creation was good. Now, there's a Hebrew word that I'm going to try to butcher, but it's henna tov, which means in harmony with God. That Hebrew word, tov, means good, beautiful, behaving as it should, happy, in harmony with God. So when someone greets somebody in the Hebrew tongue, they say, mazal tov. It's a wish for happiness and congratulations all in the same breath. It's a state of being. And in the creation story, God looked at what he created and he delivered a word and said, it is good, tov. So likewise, when God declares his son Jesus to be beloved, it's God's embodiment. It's God's incarnate act itself, which fills us with identity and pleasure and God glows. Did you ever go to a meeting, maybe a revival or a spiritual meeting or even a cocktail party when it's all over? People hang around for the afterglow, time of fellowship. I think God glows because God's incarnation is good. God in the form of his son is good. We have a hard time sometimes realizing that Jesus is actually God manifested in the flesh to come to experience everything that we experience so that he could better understand his creation. Because God's plan for his beloved creation is good. And here's God's son getting ready to go on a mission. A journey, if you would. And Jesus' ministry began at 30 years old. And this is very, very good. God in Jesus has inaugurated a plan that will leave humanity and all of creation back to the state of Tov, which in all creation, again, is beautiful in harmony with God. That's why we know the world will never end, because as Jesus ascended into heaven, he also promised to come back. So if the world blows up or the world's destroyed, he don't have a place to come back to. But he promised to come back and make everything beautiful again. Bringing this creation of his that got infiltrated with sin back to the way it was meant to be. Creation is good. God is in relationship with it. And Jesus is beloved. And God is full of pleasure in this. And the act of incarnation, because God is inherent with him. Because you don't get him all in pieces. When you get Jesus, you get God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It comes in a beautiful package. And it lives in our heart. So God's happiness through Jesus, it really comes from the inside out. And when we are in close relationship with Jesus, we too glow with the pleasure of God. So, if you're happy and you know it, your face will surely show it. Sometimes in our life, though, we get confused by what we simply like or find fun in doing. We all like to have fun in doing, and it causes us true happiness, sometimes only for a fleeting moment, but we experience it. Author Renaz Sasson delineates the difference between what we enjoy and what grants us true happiness. We can enjoy eating a cake, and most of us do. We can enjoy a beautiful piece of music that Travis gives to us. Sometimes when he's in here practicing and we come in the morning, he's just sitting over there meditating and just playing some of beautiful instrumental music. I asked him last Sunday, what are you playing? He just smiled. But it's beautiful and we enjoy it. We can enjoy buying new clothes. We can enjoy good food or a great book or even visualizing a beautiful face. What such beautiful faces that I see out here this morning. But none of these provide us with true or lasting happiness. None of these things make us glow. We glow when our hearts are engaged with God and one another. Love at first sight. As I told you in some of my stories, I had an epiphany that day. When she walked into that office at my first appointment. We bask in God's love and we find joy in the love that we give and we share with others. When we love somebody and that person supports us, lifts us up, bathes us in love, we glow in the light of a heartfelt hug, sometimes just a spiritual hug. It's the same when we get close to God. We can see visually someone who has been bathed in the light of God's love. That person shines with light and love and joy that can only come from the inside out. And that kind of joy is absolutely contagious. We all need that kind of happiness in our life, amen? That kind of happiness that can cruise through us from the inside out, that kind that makes us glow in the after effect, or the afterglow, if you would, of the kind of light that only God can bring into our life. So when you think you've seen somebody glow from a romantic encounter or an engagement to their beloved one, you see a lot of times, especially around the New Year, somebody gets down on their knee and proposes marriage to someone that they love. You can see that glow, that romantic glow. But that's only a fraction of the glow in someone's face who had a true encounter with God. And I think all of us, one time in our life, had that encounter with God. So never underestimate the power of God in your life, or even in the lives of others. Our challenge for all of us is, if we really want to experience God face to face, look for that glow in someone that you meet. You can be sure that it comes from a very special kind of joy. You can have that glow too. That peace that passes all understanding that the scriptures talk about, that's that internal joy. Oh yeah, Jesus said in this world you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not, I've overcome the world. But you know, even when Jesus went in the wilderness and he was tempted those 40 days by the devil, in Luke's gospel it says that he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," and the devil left, but Luke's gospel said, the devil also said, "I'll be back." So we're always going to have that struggle between good and evil. But when you have the joy, joy, joy down in your heart, you can overcome that kind of stuff. For whenever and whoever of us follows Christ, Christ's follower, Jesus, dares the true path that Jesus wants us to take. So whenever one of us opens our heart to God, and that's really what it is, it's just a matter of saying, "God, I know I'm a sinner. Please come into my life and be Lord over it. If you're everything that they say that you are, I want that joy." And he is faithful to do it. Does all your problems disappear? No. When I accepted Christ in my life for the first time seriously in 1986, I felt that joy. And 2 weeks later, I lost my job. But I didn't lose my faith. Because God gave me a better one, and a better one. And then he called me into the ministry, and I got that joy, joy in my heart that I can share with others, because it's available to all of us. So whenever you open your heart to God in a new and beautiful way, God smiles. I love, Judy says, "You want to